the Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
King's just given me the signal.
Could you have like taken a deeper breath?
Sorry, I was
through the nose, Ben.
I can't because I broke my nose a long time ago and never got it fixed.
I can re-break it if you like.
So I can't breathe properly.
You can't do the old circular breathing.
No.
Right.
I'm like James Street, just one way.
You got into the call the other day.
I did a bit
of James. But you know what? You got it wrong. What? You said Little James Street.
Well, I knew it was one of them. Little is still a...
Little Mellop Street.
Yeah. Oh, well, anyway.
We're trying Little Mellop Street.
Well, it's only Little Street.
Yeah.
I did a lot of nighttime activities there in James Street because they used to have the... What was that nightclub called?
Was it Titanium?
No, not in my day, was it? It changed names.
It changed names every year, pretty much. Titanium. There was Platinum, which was down Marrable Street.
Yeah, went there a few times. That was rubbish.
And that became Home House.
Yes, I did launch in a Home House sort of late.
What was...
Never had a good strike rate there, King.
The Attic was the teenage nightclub. So one of the nightclubs ran a teenage nightclub earlier in the night.
Right.
Kicked all the kids out by 10:30 and then opened up.
What was the one in James Street? Because it changed names every six months.
It was Zulu's, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it was Zulu's and then it had some other names as well. Anyway, had some good times.
Did you ever go to the Lyric?
Yeah.
A lot. Time Warp Friday night.
Oh, yeah, yeah. had plenty of... Dermy Hev was a part owner of the Lyric.
Yeah, it was with Stewie Harrison.
Yeah.
Did you ever go to the Refinery?
Yeah, I went... Oh, yeah.
Geelong Hotel?
Yeah.
And then off
I crashed you through the covers of the Kingy once.
Yeah. And then go over to Joe's for a kebab.
Yeah, and they used to have those big chicken sort of really moist ones that were just like, you could just hoover them in at 3:10 because the Refinery closed at 3:00 and it was usually one drink and you get one free. Imagine doing that now and you were absolutely Brahms and Liszt and you needed something to eat. Or if you'd struck a bit of gold, you maybe just bypass Joe's.
Struck a bit of gold.
What?
Joe's was good though. Joe's did the best lamb souvlakis.
And you just, and get home and have a souvlaki at home.
Yeah, you would. Anyway, Ben, what did you make of the performance on Sunday?
Well, Kingy, if you break for Geelong, it was good, I suppose. We're having a bit of fun on K-Rock Footy with Jezza Watch, countdown clock to his 100.
25 to go.
Yep. You still think he won't get there?
No.
Okay. What do I make of it? Well, I thought the Cats, I mean, you win an AFL game by 88 points.
You're
clearly
going
to be good. I thought the way they went about it was pretty good. I thought their pressure was good. Port Adelaide, put up a fight in the first quarter. Then Geelong basically took over the second and third quarters. It was absolutely one-way traffic on the inside 50 count. Got to about, just from memory, Kingy, something like sort of mid-30s to about 12 or 14. I think they kept them to 4 inside 50s in the third quarter. I like the way they went about it. There was clearly a talent disparity between the two teams.
A chasm.
Yeah, there was a chasm. Have you ever had one of those?
No. What's a big gap?
a chasm.
Yeah.
I think it's...
Ben?
No. Anyway...
You're very concerned.
Yes, that's my 12-year-old Tommy. Dad, you're concerning. It was good. It was good. Defence was good. Martin comes on and kicks 4. Neil was good in the third quarter. Did you think... I saw the coaches' votes. Did you think not Lockie Neil. Did you think Shannon Neil was worthy of 4 votes?
No.
I thought that was a bit odd.
He kicked 3 goals in the third quarter.
Other than that, he didn't do a whole lot.
No.
No, I thought that was odd.
15 disposals, half a dozen tackles. That's not a bad return.
Yeah, look, I'm not saying he played poorly.
But I don't think he was worth coaches' votes.
No.
I think Mullen was worth more coaches' votes than Neil.
Yeah, Mullen did a really good job on Butters, and we talked about that during the call, King. It brings up the conundrum, and it's probably a good thing for the Cats to have because at previous years we've been scratching our heads as to who might be able to tag in the midfield. And I asked Reg Toohey on K-Rock pre-game and maybe during the game as well, at halftime I think it might have been actually, what he thought was best for Mullen in terms of his role for the Cats. Is it as a defensive... a stopper, or is it a midfield tagger? Mm. He was of the opinion, he was reasonably categoric, he thought that Mullen was best served playing defensively for the Cats right now because he doesn't really offer you anything going forward in the midfield. He can stop someone, but he's not offering you anything going the other way. Playing down back, he potentially, particularly the last 2 weeks, not the week just gone, but the previous 2 weeks, he was pretty good as a defensive stopper, did a good job on Higgins, got a bit of the ball. So his thought was, can you have a midfielder that isn't going to contribute anything going one way? And that's at this stage of his career. That's not talking about maybe in 3 years' time. But right now, so I sort of tend to agree with him. But what do we do then when you're playing good sides like, you know, and they've got Dacos and they've got Lachie Neal and they've got Jordan Dawson and they've got, you know, Bonampally and Richards and you've got Sarong and Brayshaw. Like, what do we do then?
Some of these clubs you're talking about, Geelong might not even come across in terms of, well, there's still a team. But the Giants are every chance of missing the eight.
Hawthorn.
And Hawthorn as well.
Mm-hmm.
Brisbane may end up out of an elimination final. Hawthorn may end up out of an elimination final. Dogs.
Well, I think Collingwood are more likely to miss out, aren't they?
No, I think they'll still finish top four.
If they get beaten by Hawthorn,
yeah.
They've got Adelaide in Adelaide.
Hawthorn aren't going great.
Well, they went over to Adelaide and lost by a goal.
Yeah, I still don't think they've lost Will Day.
Yeah, I know, but I don't know how well Collingwood are going. Yeah. They lost three of their last four. And I, Kingy, invested wisely. It was a wise investment on the Brisbane Lions.
Did you?
$2.75 I got. I thought, this is money for jam. I'm looking at one midfield, I'm looking at another midfield.
Well, you know Lachie Neal's not playing against the
rest
of the
season.
Yes, I know. Home and away season.
They got Sydney away, haven't they? Sydney at home,
yep.
Brisbane. Then they play Frio over there. That's a difficult game. Mm. So Geelong could get over. I'd love Hawthorn to beat
Collingwood. Yeah, and Geelong to finish second.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then probably play Collingwood.
Collingwood in a qualifying final.
That would be a great result.
Yes. Geelong's last game's been confirmed to
4:15.
Yeah, on a Saturday.
Which I think we sort of, we didn't confirm the time, but
Marcus King
told us that it was going to be on a Saturday, the Geelong. I talked about that. Obviously, if you haven't got free-to-air, you won't be able to watch it. So lock it on.
Well, there's another. That's Geelong's sixth 4:15 Saturday game. So Geelong will finish free-to-air, and then pay TV or subscription or whatever you want to call it. It's all right for us. Our numbers go.
No, it's good for Carrick.
Anecdotal evidence tell us that the numbers go up.
Well, lock it in, Kicking. Yeah, just lock it on the rock.
And especially CarrickFootball.live, where you can
interact,
sink it. Yep.
Do some sinking.
Sink it up. Nothing like sinking up, Benny.
I love to sink up.
Just on Zach Butters, is that 10 disposals outside of games where he'd been so subbed a couple of times in that period. You've got to go back to the 2020 preliminary final for the last time he played a full game and was held to less than 10 disposals.
Yeah, good effort. Good effort. I mean, it helps when it's one-way traffic going Geelong's way. You know,
Geelong could afford to sacrifice a midfielder to do that.
In that game, they could. Yes, Can they do it against the big teams?
Wouldn't have thought.
I mean, if you've got Brisbane and they've got about seven or eight blokes in the midfield who are all guns, that frightens me.
I just wonder if Geelong actually will come across Brisbane. I suspect they may avoid them.
Well, I hope so, Kingy.
Until grand final.
Oh, that'd be ideal.
Yep.
That would be absolutely ideal.
And just have the wheel whack at them then.
Just going back to Saturday's game.
Sunday's
game. I thought Dangerfield looked sharp.
Yep.
Up forward.
He won't play this week.
You reckon he's out?
Yeah. The plan is to manage him.
So he's out.
That's been reported.
Does Holly Henry get a chance? Or does Jack Martin play full game?
So Holly Henry's an interesting one because he's in concussion protocol.
Still.
Well, it's 12 days. You're in it until the 12th.
It the week before?
It's only 10 days ago.
Oh right. I thought it was the Collingwood game.
No.
Oh.
No, as in VFL.
Yeah.
No, it was a week after.
Right.
Yeah, so it's the game before Geelong had the bye in the VFL. So right now, today must be day 10 of that.
Yep.
So he comes out of it on Friday. But like Grant Myers came out of it the day before, but he didn't tick all the boxes in the end. So you got to tick all the boxes.
I love ticking boxes, Kingy.
Yeah, well, this one, unfortunately,
it's one of my favourite things.
You got to wait till it's done.
Well, we'll wait and see. I would have thought that, well, he's perhaps long odds on then to get into the side. They may just play Martin, give Jack Martin more game time in that role up forward.
Which midfielder?
And then bring in a midfielder.
So Nevitt and Clark were the two emergencies?
Well, whoever they bring in, you clearly you want to bring in a bloke who you think you're more likely to need in the finals.
Well, they've got to use the next three games to actually play some blokes, knowing that the VFL finishes next week.
Mm.
They've got two games and they're done. No finals.
Do you think anybody else will come out other than Dangerfield? It didn't appear to be any injuries on Sunday.
No, there wasn't. No, Geelong's injury list basically had...
They don't have one.
Yeah, so Duncan, Colajasny, Cam Guthrie will all play VFL this
week.
No
other injuries, eh?
No.
That's bizarre.
That is unbelievable.
That's fair dinkum unbelievable.
Geelong will probably run 19 or 20 AFL-listed players in the VFL on Saturday. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. Do you think they bring... Clark, Nevitt, or Closey?
I think it'll be Clark.
Do you think?
Yep. Yeah, Clark's numbers have been pretty solid in the VFL.
So has Nevitt.
Clark's have been better once he's got over those concussions.
It's probably more the type of player, Kingy, rather than pure numbers. I mean...
Yeah, well, you would think Mullen may shuffle back.
Yeah. But then that pushes someone out of the defence.
Does.
So who's that?
Well, are they resting somebody out of the back half? Is it Jack Henry or a...
Possibly. I wouldn't have thought it'd be Jack Henry. I would have thought it was Tom Stewart.
Or a Blitzarves maybe has a spell.
You don't want to get too cute.
No, you don't. But, geez, you're playing a VFL.
I mean, Blitzarves is so versatile.
Geelong going to play a VFL team on Friday.
I mean, Stanley got rested on the weekend.
Yeah, that was his management.
Yeah.
Yep.
So he only played a half.
See, I would have thought because they only played Dangerfield a half that why would they do that if they were thinking that off a 5-day break he wasn't playing?
You told me the week before.
Yeah.
Against St Kilda.
Yeah.
When he was going kebabbing in the second half.
Yes. If you were going to keep him out of it, I'm not saying that it's all pointed to he's not playing, but you would have thought, well, why would you sub him out of that game knowing that you're potentially looking ahead to not playing him off a 5-day break? That's just an interesting.
Well, the fact is he's being rested as a fit player.
What if they rested Jeremy
Cameron? He's come off a good game. They're not going to do that, kid.
No.
That would be a disaster.
It'd be really interesting to know. Jeremy Cameron would have a bonus for a certain amount of goals, you would think.
Not 100, though.
No, not 100.
That wouldn't be factored.
But would he have...
I don't know.
80?
I wouldn't have thought with the sort of contract he'd be signing that there'd be too many incentives. Yeah. I don't think those bigger contracts are laden with incentives.
Are they just, here's your Kanga.
Here's your Bugs Bunny. Yeah. We expect you to be doing X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
He's not going to have any, I wouldn't have thought.
All Australian.
Those incentives are for younger players who need a lift or can jump up. I mean, there might be some incentives in Connor O'Sullivan's deal, although he comes off the rookie deal still. But
he's only year two.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think of a player.
You know, there might be some incentives for a player like let's say the contract Mullen just signed.
Yeah.
There may be some incentives in that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have thought. I don't know. We'd have to ask somebody who knows more about this than me. But I don't think those top end contracts have too many incentives.
Okay. Bombers on Friday night.
Well, they're going to be rabble. I mean, they've got half their team out.
Hmm.
I had a look at their injury list. It was longer than Ron Jeremy.
Ben.
What?
He's not very tall.
He isn't.
No.
He's not. But
he's long.
Tall enough, yeah.
Yeah.
And he...
So here's some of the names on the Essendon injury list.
Caddy's not playing.
Nick Bryan.
Ridley.
Nate Caddy. Jai Caldwell. Nick Cox. Sam Draper.
Mm. They're all senior players.
Harrison Jones. Nick
senior
Martin.
Player. Nick, senior player.
Ben McKay. Darcy Parrish.
Senior player. Senior player.
Zach Reed.
Senior player.
Jordan Ridley. Will Setterfield. And the old Summer Salad.
Yeah, well, he's the one that's not a senior player. There's got to be, 10 senior players not playing.
Yeah, so Brian 1, Caddy 2, Caldwell 3, Cox 4, Draper 5,
yep.
Jones 6, Martin 7, McKay 8, Parrish 9, Reed 10, Ridley 11, Setterfield 12.
Yeah.
There's a dozen of your best 22.
And they're replacing them with blokes who have played debutants.
Well, there's three or four mid-season draftees in their team.
Yeah, they did well last week against Sydney.
Yep.
That's what gives me a little bit of hope.
But the conditions...
Well, still only 7 points. A young side usually gets beaten up in those conditions. It gives me hope that Sydney have checked out.
Yep.
And that the Cats can go up there and win. I mean, Geelong should win, but Sydney would, can be a little bit tricky if they're on. So it gives me hope that Sydney have had enough.
Yep.
They're not winning this week against Brisbane at the Gabba. And then the Cats got to go up there and find a way to win that. And then obviously they'll beat Richmond. And then just see how the results fall. But I think there's a very realistic chance that they can grab second.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. That's on the cards. And that's what they need. I think they need to
finish. Well, they need Collingwood to drop one more game.
Yeah, well, second or third is not going to matter because I think it's going to be Collingwood either way.
What's that? Sorry, I just got sidetracked.
Yeah, that's
right. Someone texted me from work.
Do they?
Yeah.
How rude of them interrupting you on your work time while you're doing a podcast.
Yes.
Sounds terrible.
It is.
I suspect that, Geelong and Collingwood are going to meet, whether it be 2-3 or 3-2 or
whatever. That'll be a big game.
Yeah.
Just off the boil a little bit, the Pies. I watched them against Brisbane.
I hope that's a Thursday night.
Well, that'd be nice.
First week of finals.
That'd be a big game.
Bang.
I think we've seen the last 2 weeks, Kingy. I don't think I'll be breaking any news here, but bar injuries, I think we've seen the Cats 23 for the finals in the last 2 weeks. Now, they may rest a few here and there over the next 3 weeks, which is fine, but those players are all going to – the ones they're resting are certainly coming back. Bar injury, let's fingers crossed that no one gets injured. They've had a good run the last 2 weeks. Well, they're a good run all year, really, but the last 2 weeks they've played for 8 quarters of footy and not had an injury or an obvious injury anyway. The fact that behind the ball they seem to have set up, it's hard to know when you're playing such a crap team.
Yep.
It's difficult to get an assessment. That's my only problem.
But they'll have KPIs that they're trying to hit, even though the opposition's crap. They'll set those KPIs for that team in terms of what they want to do.
Yeah, I agree.
And they want to structure up. It'd be interesting to see. Like, Sydney's probably their last challenge.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But Richmond are going to throw everything at Geelong in the last round.
Richmond are putrid.
But they'll throw everything.
I don't care what they throw at them. They're not beating them.
Yeah, but they'll have it.
Nah. I'm not worried.
Gee, I hope Richmond. That doesn't come back and bite you.
So you think Richmond will beat Geelong?
No, I don't. I just said they'll throw everything at them. Last game
also,
of the year.
Port Adelaide threw everything at them, and look what happened there. And then the week before, North Melbourne threw everything at them, and St Kilda threw everything at them. Well, there's one thing to throw everything at them. It's another thing to have the talent to actually go with a team that is eyeing finals, knows they can't afford
but you're
a
saying
slipper.
That, but you're saying that Essendon makes you nervous this week.
I never said that.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
I'm sure you used the word nervous.
No, I'm not. No, I'm nervous for Essendon. I'm not nervous for the Cats.
I thought you were nervous for
Geelong will win by, depending upon their mindset and how they go about it, I reckon they'll win by anywhere between 60 and 120 points.
Under a hold.
Under a grip, Blake Shin sort of style.
All right. Now let me have a look and see what the weather is on Friday.
Let's hope it's Friday.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Friday night, sorry. I'm getting...
I'm sorry.
Well, the night game might curtail a little bit. You get a bit sort of Stewie Jew and limit scoring potentially to a degree.
15, no rain.
Yeah, okay.
Partly cloudy, slight chance of a shower on the surf coast. Near zero chance elsewhere. Light winds.
A bit of light wind.
Yes. Which we've had in the box a couple of times this year.
Right, we have.
Courtesy of you.
Yes. Well, no, that Zambrero's launches out. Once you launch that in
don't
pre-game.
Blame the Zambrero.
No. Do you know that the average person passes wind 13 times a day?
Yes, they do.
And
above average.
I'm well above average, which is nice. It's one of the few things I'm above average in. Anyway, what else have we got to talk about with the Cats? It's pity they're playing such a rubbish opponent this week.
Yeah, Mitch Duncan has been linked with playing a farewell year with West Coast into a coaching role, which is interesting. I didn't think Mitch's life, I guess, from WA... I thought Mitch's life being over here, married a Geelong girl.
Yeah, I can't see that.
I was surprised to see that, but obviously. But are you riding that without any some...
West Coast do not need Mitch Duncan on their list.
No.
He's not capable of playing week in, week out at the senior level. And when he does play, he doesn't offer you anything. If you want him as an assistant coach, great, but don't get him as a player.
Does Mitch Duncan want to be running around in the waffle?
Absolutely not.
Not really.
And West Coast are not in a position. I mean, look at the over the last 2 or 3 years, the amount of rubbish the older players they've had on that list who have A, broken down, had to retire, or been on the list too long.
Yep.
They kept Sheed too long.
Yep.
I mean, they cannot afford. I would not have thought in a million years if they want Mitch Duncan as an assistant only
or a development coach. Just
fantastic.
Yep.
Do not get him. Use that spot to develop a player. Mm. I mean, you develop a Lawson Humphreys or a Tom Atkins or a Tom Stewart or a Zach Guthrie or somebody from low down. Add that to your list and see if you can't find that sort of player. Mm. Don't have a Mitch Duncan there because he can put the hats out for training.
Yep.
Well, that's just mind-boggling. Who said that?
No, it was a report in the Herald Sun. There must be some life to it. You're not writing that if you don't have some degree.
Well, maybe West Coast, so they're looking at that, but I find that's extraordinary. But you would have thought his life is here. I don't know whether Mitch would be wanting to upend it and head over to WA, even though he's from there. But that was a long, long time ago he was from there.
Yeah, he's been drafted in 09.
Yeah.
Yeah, and yeah, married to Demi, 1,000 kids.
And he's got free coffees down Paco for the rest of his life. He doesn't want them.
Support networks here. Yeah, it's interesting. Wait and see what unfolds. Now, Benny.
Yes.
Can we just touch on Travis Boak? Because he's going to retire.
And play Torquay.
Yes.
Supposedly, yeah.
At some stage.
Is he going to play a whole year or just play the old game?
I'd say, I think life for him is in Adelaide. Like, yeah, I think, but yes, he will be making appearances as a one-pointer for Torquay.
That is extraordinary, yeah. Isn't it?
And even at age 38, oh God, their midfield could be...
He'd be getting it a few times.
Could be putrid. I didn't see his media conference. Did anybody ask him if he was planning on playing at Torquay next year?
Yeah.
They did
he
they?
Said mentioned something about... Well, I don't know what the question was because you never hear them, but he mentioned something about kept the number five. Is he wore five?
So his dad wore number five.
Yeah.
So he's late dad. So number five is now worn by the captain of Torquay in honour of his dad. So I suspect that will, if he wanted to play, he would come back and play in the number five.
Well, he mentioned something about number five being open for him.
Well, it's not.
But he... But they must have...
Yeah.
So I think... He definitely mentioned Torquay and definitely mentioned...
Yeah, he'll be playing.
Going back and having him.
Don't be surprised if you find in 2 years' time Dangerfield and Boak are playing against each other again.
For Anglesey?
Yeah.
Do you reckon Dangerfield will play at Anglesey?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he played a couple of games to finish off.
Really?
Yep. He coaches. He's coaching his son's under 9.
Do you reckon Tommy Atkins will go back and play at St Joey's?
It wouldn't shock me.
Do you reckon that Tom Shue will go back and play at South
No.
Melbourne? Do you think that Grime Miles will go back to Grovey?
Wouldn't be surprised.
Do you think Mitch Neville will go back to Grovey?
Probably.
Do you think that Shannon Neal...
is going to...
I don't know who he played for.
No, somewhere in WA. Would Jed Buse play for Leopold? He's probably the next one you're looking
for. Do you think?
No.
Right.
No, he does. He does want to have... He would love to play another year with his older brother, Jackson. But that Jackson's... What, Jed's got to be 31, 32. Jacko would be 34, 35. So they've obviously got links to Anglesey, links to North Geelong, which is obviously the Rats club, and Jackson also played there as well. So it'd be interesting to see. But yeah, Jed, I wouldn't be surprised if Jed rolled out playing local footy at some stage.
Do you think George Stevens should be playing for South Warrnambool?
No, he's got some AFL traits. Unfortunately, at the moment, speed is not one of them.
No, he's not going to get any speed.
No.
He's just too lumbering.
Yeah. Can you find an extra yard through running or anything like that? Or
I wouldn't have thought.
No.
You can improve. You can seriously improve your endurance so you can get to more contests. So it gives you the ability to get there quicker because you're not actually quicker, but you're able to sustain an effort for longer.
Mm.
But I don't think you can actually. I don't think you can actually really generate any speed if you don't have any have a base there to start with. I mean, it's more about fitness. I mean, we look at Max Holmes, you know, as a seriously quick player. And did he win the grand final sprint?
Yeah.
He won the grand final sprint. I remember that because I reckon Sean Higgins said that Max Holmes will win this by the length of the straight.
Yeah.
And I was a little bit taken aback. I mean, I knew he was quick, but I was a little bit taken back that Sean would say that. And then obviously Max Holmes did win the sprint by the length of the straight. But you never... In his first 30 to 40 games,
you never really saw absolute
blinding
speed.
You saw
the explosiveness.
But now he's got a base of fitness.
Yeah.
He's getting to more contests, getting the ball more. He's able to sustain efforts longer, so you're seeing the speed more.
Mm.
Like, we hear how quick Oisin Mullen is. You never see it. Very rarely.
Mm.
He doesn't get the ball enough. So my point would be that George Stevens, I don't think he's going to get any quicker, but can he seriously improve his endurance so he can get to more contests? Yeah. And that
which
might help him. But I still think that just his spread and his lumbering sort of way is
going to... Because there's a reason why he slipped down to, pick 57 or wherever he is.
Yeah.
It's because the knock was he wasn't quick enough.
No. Charlie Constable.
Yeah. But he's...
Springs to mind.
George Horne-Smith.
Tim Finocchiaro.
I don't remember much of Tim's work.
35, I think he wore.
Yeah, right.
He was...
Did he wear it before Chappie?
Tim Finocchiaro.
He wore it before Chappie.
I reckon he did. Someone will... Hodge will know. I think he did wear 35 from memory. He was shaving his back and other regions, I reckon, when he was about 8. Tim Finocchiaro.
Right.
He was like a yeti. He was playing in the under-18s. He looked like he was 40 and had three kids and owned a Tirana.
Right.
And smoked three packs of darts a day.
Tim Finocchiaro wore, he didn't wear 35.
What did he wear?
No, I'm just scrolling down. I thought it might have been 33.
I thought it was in the 30s.
Yeah, it was. Hang on, let me. I'm going by number. I need to go by name now. Let me just go down to the.
He was. I reckon he was from the Calder Cannons, and he was a pretty dominant player in the under 18 competition. But he was built like a man, and
You might be right, Benny. Yeah, sorry. He wore 43 in his first half a dozen games. And then he went to the 35 for four games.
Right.
But so on AFL tables, because he's the number he wore, the jumper in most, is the one that usually stays as your number.
I remember him having, I reckon he did have three kids by the time he played his first game. Do you know, Kingy, I was talking to someone,
he played his first game in round two, 1998, and he was not even 19.
Yeah.
You idiot.
Anyway, I went there. We have, through my job, we have some horses doing bits and pieces at other stables, just what you would classify, for those who don't know anything about racing, just doing a little bit of pre-season.
Yep.
So getting 6 weeks of work under their belt before they come down and actually get trained.
Yep.
Okay. So we've got some horses down at Berrigarra. So I went down there last week, and there's obviously, we've got a few horses there, and there's a lot of horses being worked there, and there's a few staff floating around, and so I've got to know them a little bit. And one of them is a lovely girl named Lola. She's an Irish girl. And she goes, Ben. She goes, hi, Ben. I said, hey, Lola. She goes, I saw you on the big screen. And I said, oh. I sort of tried to play dumb. I said, oh, right. I didn't know you like the footy. She goes, no, my partner likes the footy, and he takes me. And she goes, oh, don't mind. I get into it. And she goes, I saw you on the big screen. She says, I didn't see you. I heard your voice. And then I think, oh, I know that voice. I looked up, and you're on the big screen. Anyway, she hasn't been at work much. I said, well, where have you been? She goes, well, I'm not doing this as much anymore. I'm doing some I've become a beautician. Uh-huh. But I come down here and help a couple of days a week, you know, so it fits in with my beauty stuff. And I said, oh, right. And I said,
did you get her card?
Did I?
Oh, she does beautician work. I'm just figuring to do with it.
Well, I would have been in there for 5 days. She wouldn't have been.
Still made no.
I would have broke the mold.
Made no improvement.
She said, "Just get a good night's sleep."
Yeah, that's fair.
Anyway, so I said to her, "I said, oh, do you like the footy?" She said, "Yeah, yeah." And then she said, "She goes, oh, I deal with a few of the players." I said, "What do you mean?" She goes, "A lot of the players come into the salon."
Oh, wow.
I said, "What for?" And she said, a lot of them getting a lot of regions waxed, Kingy.
Right.
And do you know the most recent one just got everything, got the whole sort of, the whole thing.
No names, Benny.
Judged up.
No, I can't say. You can't say.
No, number nine.
Client privilege.
Yeah.
Right.
Agent 99.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, the whole shebang.
Yeah, right.
I said, so how does it sort of work?
Anyway,
she said there's quite a few of them launching there to ensure that everything's sort of...
Yeah, they're shaved down.
Aerodynamic.
Right, like swimmer.
Do you pop in there?
No.
Anyway, I said, I just thought that was a bit... Times have changed, hasn't it, Kingy? Like, I don't reckon that, you know, back in the day, Mick Schultz was going in and getting the old plums done, I reckon he the hairier the better for Mick. Mark Boss. He wasn't getting the back done. He wasn't getting anything done. He was just straight ahead.
Can we move on? Some questions.
But footy has changed, hasn't it?
It has, Ben.
Yeah.
Some questions.
I can't wait to get Max on and then ask him if he goes, because I don't know whether he does or not.
Right, Damien Tedesco.
Mr. Tedesco.
Boys, once again, a great call. Tell me, how does Zach Guthrie not get the credit that he should? And is this Warple story getting big on the paper?
Well,
yes, the Warple story is...
Been in the papers?
Yeah, it's very much down the track.
I don't read the papers. Well, do you know what, Kingy? Do you know what? And I was sort of sniffing this out weeks ago, wasn't I?
You were.
Because he hadn't signed at Hawthorn, but do you know what was interesting, and I thought was interesting, is that they made him the sub last Friday night.
He won't be the sub this week.
No, he won't be with Day Out. But did you think, and I don't follow Hawthorn religiously, but would you, just on face value, think it was odd for a midfield to leave Warple out as a sub?
Would have thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I reckon the club knows that he's not going to be there, and let's be honest, clubs, as much as they'll say they don't,
they get the
brazen bits with players. We've seen that with Petrarca.
Lockie Henderson.
Yeah, but Petrarca, if you look at his in the centre bounce, he's dropped off face of the earth at Melbourne. They don't put him in the centre bounce anymore.
I wonder if they will this week.
Well, they probably will because they've got a new coach.
Yeah.
But so I think if you think the clubs don't get chitty with players who they know.
Oh, they do.
Yeah. So I reckon Warple being the sub. I mean, I'll have to look at his numbers. Have his numbers been good this year, Warple, in terms of consistency? Because if somebody said to me, James Warple, what do you think? I'd say he seems to be a regular 20 to 30 possession midfielder. Is he the best player in the comp? No. Has he got a bit of speed? Yes. Can he go and win his own ball? Yes. Is he kicking good? It's okay. He's not elite. He's pretty good at everything. That would be my take on James Warple. So just what numbers is he?
He's actually averaging less than 20 disposals a game this year.
Is that worse than last year?
Yeah, well worse. So last year he was averaging about 22 disposals a game. This year about 19.5.
Goals-wise?
Goals, kicked 6-11 last year, 3-7 this year.
Yeah, he doesn't kick many goals.
No. So he's not a man. Most goals in years, he kicked 10 twice. He's only kicked 48 in his career. He's played 140 games.
Yeah, he's not really good.
He's good on the tackle in terms of... I've got to be careful how you say that.
Maybe send him down to Lola at the salon.
So averaging 5.5 tackles a game. Clearance numbers, they're probably down a bit. Like he averaged... let's have a look. Well, 2023 was a massive year. What, he won the BNF in 2019, second year?
Did he?
Yep.
You know more than me.
Yep. And then 2023, he had 600 disposals from 23 games, 149 clearances. So he was going at nearly 7 clearances a game, 6.5 clearances a game.
He can add something.
He polled in 2024, 14 Brownlow votes. 11 Brownlow votes the year before and 10 in 2019 when he won the BNF.
He's a good player. He's a very competent player.
Yeah, and good fella.
Is he?
Yeah, good fella.
Warpeter. So who would he be? Who would he, in terms of his Falcons year?
Myers.
Grime Myers.
Yep.
I wonder whether they're tight. Yep.
He's a year younger. He played in the Falcons flag. I reckon I'm trying to think. Oscar Brown. Oh, no, Oscar Brownless and Sam Walsh were the bottom ages. Sorry, Warple was a top ager. He captained that team.
Right.
Yeah, so Myers would be the one that he would have the link with.
So what was I didn't read the article. What did the article say?
Oh, 4-year deal.
At the Cats.
Yeah, which I think maybe...
How old is he? 20 what?
6.
Yeah, that's fine. Money's probably spread out. I think you've sort of got... If you want to lure him, you've got to lure him with something. Hawthorn have probably got a similar type deal, maybe only 3 years. Mm. So you add the extra year, you can amortise the money over the four.
I didn't expect the word amortise to be used on this.
Well, it was, Kingy.
Next thing
you get that in Scrabble, you'd be over the
moon. Next thing you'll be talking about EBITDA and all that sort of stuff.
Who?
EBITDA, do you know what that is?
No.
Earnings before interest, tax, depreciation and amortisation, I think is what it is.
Right.
You'll see it on the clubs. Yeah, earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation and amortisation. Is that what I said first time? Yes. Yeah, I got that right. EBITDA.
Oh, I might better throw that into the call.
Get EBITDA in there.
Yeah. Like WC Fields, didn't he say he had a problem with his sacroiliac? And he goes, spelled SACRO- you're on your own.
Return of our Loch Ness, McAuley. What was more explosive, Neil and Martin's third quarter or an Elon Musk rocket? Neil and Martin is also where I get my tax done.
That's good. But Elon Musk just got $46 million worth of shares?
Oh, did he?
From Tesla.
Must be gifted
$46 million worth of shares. I think it was million.
Must be terrible.
Must be hard to be Elon. Especially when you've got, you're on the...
Yes, right. Medicus. I've been bullish about Neil for a while now, and my goodness, is he delivering. If I could choose a bloke to have a kick after the siren to win a game, it would be Shannon.
Yeah, that's a good call. Medicus, he joins us each and every week on K-Rock Footy and always got something to say, and it's usually on the money. He does have a beautiful action, doesn't he? Emotion. It looks... There's no...
What do you call it? Majestic.
Yeah. He just... Everything moves nicely. There's no movement that looks clunky. He seems to be able to replicate the same style each kick for the set shot. I mean, we see Cameron get it wrong at times, get too close to the man on the mark. We used to see it. Tom Hawkins was a pretty good set shot at goal, but sometimes you get too close to the man on the mark. I don't know how much Cameron works on it. I mean, it's one thing to get the ball and just have 20 shots you know, ad hoc, but how much are you actually working on your run-up, your distance from the man on the mark, all those sorts of things. Neil seems to have all that in sync, and the result is that he is a lovely kick at goal, a really nice kick at goal. And I'd have to see vision down the ground, but I reckon his kicks go straight.
Yes.
I don't reckon there's the Tom Hawkins fade or the...
There's a draw.
Or the power sort of Brooks Koepka back into the wind. I reckon his kicks go pretty straight, which is a really good trait. I really like that call. And he's, and the thing about that, Kingy, is that in today's footy... You know, the forwards aren't getting the same opportunities they were 30 years ago.
No.
So you've got to make the most of the opportunities you get.
And create some of your own.
Yes. And if he's getting four shots at goal a game, set shot goals,
got to kick three.
And he's kicking 3-1, it at the end of his career, you've kicked 500 goals instead of 300.
Yeah.
So I really like that call. He's a really good player. The only asterisk I'd have on that third quarter was that was... Port Adelaide were horrible.
Yep.
Now, Geelong made the most of it. Good to see Martin get goals. Good to see Neil get goals. But, you know, they're against opposition that are just giving up the ghost.
Footy Lad Zero. Hey, lads, thanks for discussing my long-winded question last week. Really appreciate it. Short and sweet this week. Who do you think the Catters' most underrated player is? I reckon it's Jack Bowes. Versatile player, can do whatever role is required and dismissed a lot when our best 22 or 23 comes up.
Most underrated player.
I still think Zach Guthrie is the most underrated.
Yeah,
player.
I was actually thinking Zach Guthrie.
But Jack Bowes is possibly one of the more versatile players. He's not Blitzarv's versatile, but he can go back and play a defensive role. He can play up on the wing, and he can go into the mid. He can plug holes. If you need a solid citizen to do something,
he's the one though. I think could be replaced.
Can get squeezed.
Yeah.
But who? But no. I think it's that versatility that helps him. He may become he might become your sub through because you know if you lose a midfielder, well, you replace, he can go in there. If you lose a defender, a small defender, he can go back.
Yeah, it's probably a pretty good call. Don't disagree with that. The one I think who is, I don't know if he's underrated because he does get quite a bit of airtime and he's building a profile, but I think when he's playing well, Geelong are really good, and he's very, very good at playing the role, Ollie Dempsey.
Mm.
He's unbelievable at getting back to help. You know, he's obviously got a tank. He can go forward. He makes you nervous because he can take a mark. He's opportunistic at ground level in front of goal. But how often do we see him getting back and then taking a mark or saving the day or helping get the ball out of defence as well? To have his skill set, the running ability allows him to run and help out defence, he's skillful. And then he goes forward, and whoever he's playing on, you know, I'm thinking, say, Ed Langdon. I know we've spoken about him before on the Kerr's High Cat Attack podcast, but Ed Langdon is a very good wingman because he has the ability to get up and down the ground. Mm. He doesn't make you nervous in front of goal because he doesn't really mark the ball and he doesn't kick goals. Dempsey can mark it, he can kick goals, he can run, he can create, he can link. He is, I reckon, and he's only played, 50 games?
Yep.
He is... I don't know if our most underrated because he is, as I said, he is getting a profile, but he is a bloody good player and he's going to only get better.
Dudas Maximus, a lot being made of soft draws heading into finals. Would a soft draw alone explain the Cats' prelim final loss to the Lions last year?
Oh, I wouldn't have thought so when they had the Lions on toast.
25 points up early in the
Dangerfield third. Missed that goal, didn't he?
Yeah, Sean Manor.
Or the mark.
Sean Manor ran into that open goal.
Would have put us 5 goals up, pretty much.
And they go down the other end.
And then we get back in front. In the last quarter, I mean, Brisbane are a good team. Let's be honest. They're a very good team. And they had Danaher last year. They had, you know, Harris Andrews at the peak of his powers. Their midfield is as deep as you get. They're a very good side. And Collingwood saw that firsthand last week. They put Collingwood away. 5 goals. They just absolutely had Collingwood on toast for quite a bit of that game. I mean, then they've unearthed Logan Morris, who's become a really good player. You know, Hipwood's basically playing second fiddle to Morris at the moment. You know, you've got the thing that the Cats don't have, and we've spoken about this before, and they did have when they had their heyday, was goal-kicking midfielders. Ablett, Bartel, Chapman could go in and kick a goal. Stevie J could do a little bit, but in the midfield they'd go and kick a goal. But then they had the blokes who didn't. So they had Corey, Ling, maybe Kelly.
Yep.
So they had the best of both worlds. Geelong don't have a goal-kicking midfield.
No.
Brisbane do.
Yep.
Rayner kicks goals. Bailey kicks goals. Ashcroft kicks goals.
Yep.
That's what they don't have. That's my only reservation with Warple, is you add another player into the mix. So you've got home. How many goals has Max Holmes kicked this year?
9 or 10.
Not many.
Yep.
Bailey Smith only kicked about 5 or 6.
Yep. 6 for Bailey Smith.
Tom Atkins doesn't kick goals.
No, he's kicked 3.
You're adding Warple and you're getting 4 midfielders there who don't kick goals. They need to find somebody who can play in the midfield, who can go forward and kick a goal. That's where we're struggling a little bit. You look at Bon and Pally, Ed Richards. Both go forward and kick goals. Mm. Then they've got others complementing that, like Liberatore, who don't, but they play a defensive role. Collingwood, Dacos kicks goals. Trying to think who else they got in the midfield there. Josh Dacos kicks goals. We don't have goal-kicking power out of the midfield, which is... And when you've got a tight game, in a finals game, where traditionally your tall forwards aren't going to kick you 4 or 5... If you can get 3 or 4 goals out of your midfield, that can be the difference. That's why I just feed Geelong just off the pace.
So just Collingwood's goal kickers. So Elliott's kicked 48, Mychek 33, Membry 27, Hill 20, McStay 18, Dacos 15, Hoskin Elliott 12, Sidebottom 11. Then it's
So they're similar to us, and that's one of the reasons why.
Do you want Brisbane's numbers, Benny?
Well, Rain would be kicked a few.
So Morris 40, Bailey 29.
That's midfield forward.
Rayner 25.
That's midfield forward.
Will Ashcroft 10, McCluggage 10, Levi Ashcroft 10.
So they've kicked more than Holmes, those three.
Yep. Yeah, I think Holmes has kicked on. I think his goal on the weekend was his 10th.
Yeah.
Of the season. Justin, looking at Geelong, and I know Adelaide's probably the other one we need to look at.
Well, Jordan Dawson kicks a few goals. I don't know if Soligo does.
Keys 31 goals.
Yeah, well, he's a forward predominantly.
Isaac Rankin's kicked 29.
Yeah, sort of forward midfield.
Probably playing more mid this year.
Yeah.
Dawson 16. Alex Neil Bullen's kicked 16 goals this year.
So
that would have to be a career high.
He's another. Well, I wouldn't have thought. He's another one that gets under the guard.
Oh, gee. Okay. 27 in 2018 for Melbourne. And his next best is 19. So he's going to end up with his second best year in front of goal. And the year at Melbourne was a year he played more forward of the footy.
Yeah.
Just when they were starting to come good.
We just don't have that goal-kicking power, which we were so accustomed to with Ablett and Bartel and Chapman and all these guys. But the other clubs do, maybe Collingwood. And that's one of the reasons I was talking to somebody, Kingy, during the week about Collingwood and Hawthorn. The Hawthorn, if you looked at their midfield, I don't know if their midfield is great in front of goal. Newcombe doesn't kick a huge amount of goals. We mentioned Warple. Will Day probably does, but he's missed quite a bit of football. Their midfield doesn't have great goal-scoring power. Mm. The one thing that keeps you in the game against Collingwood and Hawthorn, and it's partly probably because of that, when they're dominating, they don't score heavily. They never blow you away. Collingwood are always leave you in the game. Hawthorn are the same. Geelong have more potency up forward with Cameron, with Neil, with Stengel, with Myers, with Close. So they can kick goals when it's going their way, but do they get enough out of the midfield? So hopefully at some point they can find somebody who can. It's not going to be this year, but they need to find and they're hard to find. If you can get a midfielder that's kicking you 20 goals a game.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look, I reckon Joel Selwood, in his second or third year, kicked about 30. Had to work on he didn't think he kicked enough goals, and I reckon he kicked 30 in 1 year. He never replicated that, but he actually kicked 30 goals in a season.
Yeah,
I'm sure he did.
2013.
Yeah.
Yep, 2013.
That's 6 or 7 years in.
That was his 7th season.
Yeah.
Yep. Can I ask you more questions, Benny?
Yeah, look.
We are dragging out a little bit here. Son of God, 29. Good win over Port, although it was almost a sample team. The usual suspects were really good. Mullen really good defensively against Butters. Would you be giving Reece the week off after being subbed? Would love to see Loch Ness. There's more to be gained for him playing at AFL level than VFL. No, there's not. He needs time in the VFL. His body's not ready to play AFL footy yet.
No, give him the time.
Yeah.
Geelong, he's
not playing AFL footy this year. I'd be shocked unless they were going to roll him out in round 24.
No. Make this year, just fingers crossed that he bounces out of this year and bounces into next year. That'd be the key.
Who would be your top 5 in the Kaji? He's got 1 Guthrie, 2 Holmes, 3 Cameron, 4 Smith, 5 Atkins.
Well, look, I'm thinking that the Cats are going to be enamoured with Bailey Smith.
Early.
Recruit. Yeah, he got 43 against North, didn't he?
Yep.
I'd say Bailey Smith will be leading it. Max Holmes will be second. I'd say Tom Atkins would be third.
Cameron fourth.
Zach Guthrie, Cameron fourth and fifth.
Yep. Howl of 41 took a little bit, but late in the second quarter we broke the game open and exploded Benny Cass Nutbush style. I'm Shannon Neal's number two fan behind Daz Broncos. He had a quiet first half but kept himself involved with six tackles, 26 goals in the last 10 games, and he's building very nicely. That's a good number. 2.5 goals a game for the second fiddle forward.
Yeah.
Off a five-day break in the Bombers representing a World War One by playing, would this be a week to rest a couple of older guys? No team changes for 3 weeks. Wouldn't hurt to give the emergencies a good crack in case they're required come finals. Closey's played a few, but Nevitt hasn't played AFL since the late 1970s.
I don't disagree with that.
There'll be two changes, I reckon. Dangerfield and there'll be somebody else.
Yeah. I'm just reticent to change it up too much.
No, two's not a... An impactful change.
No, I agree. Two, you wouldn't want any more than two. But, yeah, I don't disagree with that. Just how they do it is key. You just don't want to upset the apple cart. Everything's going really well at the moment. They're playing well, albeit against inferior opposition. There'd be some hesitation in how much you do to change it around. I mean, Collingwood probably got caught. They've tried to be pretty smart across the last few weeks and left blokes out and manage them. They've lost three of their last four. And I'm not saying that's the sole reason, but certainly doesn't help.
Cats 09, excluding taking any opportunities for play management over the coming few rounds, will we see any unforced changes to the 23 who played on Sunday, or are they most likely to be the team for week one of the finals?
I think that's the team.
Yeah.
I think the team we saw, bar injuries or anything else that happens that's unforeseen, the team of the last 2 weeks is the team that will roll out in week one. And if we could get that team to the week one of finals with no injuries between now and the final game against Richmond, that'd be a fantastic effort. And there'd be, I tell you what it would do, Kingy, there'd be absolutely no excuses.
Daz Broncos to round us out. Been loving the mayhem of the last few weeks as you search for things to discuss as the Ford 50 beatings have been handed out. Potentially another one this week. I'd be happy with 4 points and no injuries, but let's be honest, playing Where's Jezza, Scratcher for 50 and Martin's 5 minutes is much more fun. To the question, which bottom six player has to have the best last 3 weeks in final series to make the Cats winners in 2025?
I think it's
got to be Mullen. I think Mullen's got to play a role.
Yeah.
Mullen's got to influence the contest in some way. He can't be just a passenger. He has to influence it by either doing a role on somebody, that in the midfield or forward.
That's all he's going to do. They're not going to suddenly throw him the keys.
Well, if he's not doing that, he could find himself like Tom Atkins after the qualifying final in 2020 and enjoy the rest of September off.
I honestly don't see that happening. They seem to love Oisin Mullen, which is fine. They're playing him all year. They're playing him now with continuity in terms of...
he's only missed one game.
...defensive roles, though, whether it's midfield or defence. It's probably a good call, Kingy. Only, not so much for him going out of the side, but the role that he's asked to play, you know, he's not playing on a spud. He's playing on a match winner for the opposition.
Yeah.
So if he's able to nullify that player... Even if he's not offering too much himself, you would have to think that helps the cause of winning because that player is going to be crucial to the opposition winning. Mm. So I think he's the one of that bottom six. The other one who, I mean, we mentioned him before, if Bowes plays well, it's just another option for the Cats.
Yeah.
It's another option in the midfield if he plays the midfield. He gives you another soldier. If he can get 20-odd possessions, there's another man there. That's where I think we're going to struggle. How many goals has Bowes kicked this year? He's missed a bit of time.
13 or 14?
Yeah, he's not the one that's hopeless in front of goal. He can scrounge you a goal.
Let me just double-check that stat. I reckon it's 12, 13 or 14, Benny, is going to be my guess.
Yeah, do you miss that many?
And it is 13.
Yeah. Well,
do you know what it is? It's 13 goals won.
Yeah. He can kick you a goal. Hmm. So I think Bowes and Mullen... of the guys that you don't normally associate, and for very different reasons.
Yep.
I think that they're if they play well, it's a good, really good sign for Geelong.
Just you talk about the midfield goals. So Dempsey's goals, you've got to consider midfield goals because he's a wingman.
I suppose.
Manners goals?
Yeah, Manners. Manners like our... the equivalent of, I'm not suggesting the same sort of...
Is he Cam Rayner?
No, well, he's a Zach Bailey.
Yep.
Yeah, of Brisbane.
Yep. Holmes has kicked 11.
Yeah.
Grimes kicked 10, and Grimes playing more up the ground.
Yeah.
But he's kicked 10-10, which is actually a little bit skew with for him. So that just sort of...
Yeah, it is... Dempsey and the goals of Manor do help. I just love, I'd love your frontline midfielder to be a 20-goal player, Smith or Holmes. Now, I don't think that's ever going to happen.
Do you want to have a guess what Cameron's return is in terms of what percentage he's running at goals-wise?
Jeremy Cameron?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Is in terms of goals to points?
This year,
yeah.
He's been far more accurate. Yeah. He's been accurate in the last 6 or 7 weeks.
He's running 3-1. He's 75-26.
Is that what he's kicked?
Yeah.
What did he kick last year?
Kicked last year.
I reckon he was off target last year.
He kicked 64-41. So he's actually had, he's played four less games than last year, and he's had three less shots to this point.
I reckon he gets the 100.
Yeah, okay.
I reckon he kicks 7 this week.
So in the year that he kicked 76, which is his career best, he had 100. He kicked 76-50. So if he was to have, so he's kicked, he's had 126 shots at goal. If he has 25 shots at goal between now and in four more games, we'll get him, say he's running at three quarters, he'll get to 94 or 95. And that will leave him probably another final to try.
Wow. It's going to go right down the
wire. Oh, it's going to be fun. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be extraordinary if he gets there.
Are we doing Hydro's Heroes?
Yeah, we are, Kingy. We're doing, I just get up Hydro's Heroes. I think we're doing, well, one of them is an absolute, it's a soda, Kingy. We'll, right. We'll just spank a
how
half volley.
How many more numbers have we got left?
Not many. I'll have to get.
We're wrapping this up home and away style.
So this week we've got 39. Oh. Well, I've done 39, Darren Milbury.
Yes.
So the next pod, the numbers are 44.
Yep.
And Tristan Arnott. No, Simon Arnott. Did he walk? Tristan, what was the other guy's name? That's him.
44, only two players qualify.
44?
Yeah.
There's some guns wearing that.
Yeah, what's that?
Stuart Nenroll.
Stuart Nenroll.
Who else has worn it?
No, after that, 21 games from Shane Williams back in the mid-80s.
He wasn't the worst player.
No, came from the Bulldogs.
Is that it? The three players? There's got to be more than that.
No, he played 21. There's only two that have played the 50 games.
So Stuart versus Enright.
You've got to go Boris.
Yeah, I think you do.
Yeah,
look, he's on a half a plane higher than Tom Stewart.
Yeah, but not much.
No, not much. I agree with that. Stewart is aerially better, although Enright was pretty safe over his head. Enright was just, I don't know what, Enright wasn't that quick. He wasn't that tall. He wasn't, he was skillful, but it wasn't out of control skill.
He was 6'2".
He was just unbelievable. He was durable. He was tough. He read the game unbelievably well. He was an absolute gun.
He did it with a smile on his face.
Well, he did. He didn't seem to be raising a sweat.
No.
When he was doing it.
No. The only time he looked flustered was when he got dacked.
The only time he got flustered was when they were bloody sledging opponents, him and Scarlett.
And Mackie.
Yeah, all three of them. They used to talk to each other about the people they were playing on without actually directly talking to the person.
Do we really get 4 points for winning this?
Yeah. Have you seen this bloke I'm on? He's no good.
So is that the only number?
Well,
I get him, don't I? I've got the evens.
Yeah, you get Enright. Well, that's a good one. So 44 and 45. So Cameron Lee.
And he's the only one that qualifies other than Brad Close.
If you were building a prototypical halfback.
So only four.
Let's quickly run through this. Who's a better mark, Stewart or Enright?
Stewart.
Who was a better kick?
Enright.
Who was more of a playmaker?
Enright.
Who has
been? Although that's a very minor gap.
Yeah. Who has been more durable?
That's 50-50.
Who's more versatile?
Enright.
Yeah. So where's
Enright? You could throw into the midfield.
So Enright's half length in front of Stewart.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Stewart's closing the
gap. It's Faux Rogue, our Waverley star.
Yeah. You're not missing.
Was that who it was? Was it Faux Rogue and our Waverley star?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Bone Crusher.
Bone Crusher and Waverley star, yeah.
Vaux Rogue was written by Cyril Small. He got beat by Dandy Andy in the Australia Cup 66-1.
He did. Yeah. Right. So, is that us done?
So Ling in 45. I've got Linger.
Yeah.
I'll be tagging someone.
Selwood.
Well, you got Gary Ablett in the 4. I've got him in the 29, haven't I?
Yeah. Is that what we're doing?
He'll be tagging Selwood.
Is there a 4 and a 29, Gary Ablett?
No, there's not. There's only a 29. He's in my team. He's in the odds. So, yeah, so we'll, there's a couple of, Yeah, that was us, Enright and Stewart.
Geez. We haven't got many numbers.
We've been absolutely so blessed at the Cats.
Because we're pulling up at 46, aren't we? Yes. Which is blitz halves.
Yep.
We've done him already. So there can't be any more numbers left, can there?
Well,
we must be done.
Hang on, King. Hang on, King. Just wait.
Please hold course.
There's 43. Is there a 43?
43. Right, so we actually know a couple of blokes that wore the 43, but don't qualify. Russell Merriman.
Oh, yeah, Rusty. Joey's boy, yeah. Joey's player.
Brett Hungerford.
Hungers, did he?
Yeah, he's two games.
Hungers. And do you know what Hungers is famous for?
I don't need to know. And even then, I reckon Rusty played a lot of his games in the 13.
So 43 Hungers was?
Yep.
Yeah, right. He would have packed a bit in the jumper, but he packed a bit into the shorts as well.
Good on him.
Just been on a golf trip, Hungers, this week. I went up to A for a Chuka.
A for a Chuka. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Oldie, but a good. Can we get out of here?
Yeah, we can, Keith. Right. We can do whatever we want.
Friday night.
Yeah.
Claudia Gunjaka is going to give us an update on how you performed at Erin Gate.
I wouldn't ask her that.
Oh, that's getting asked, Benny.
No.
That is definitely getting asked. Covey's coming in for the last time. We're going to talk to our one game wonder.
Who is it?
No, we don't reveal till the night.
Oh, right.
But.
What year?
Late 70s, and their nephew might have made an appearance for Geelong, is the hint I will give.
Right.
That's all I
can Might have or might not have?
No, it did.
Did.
Yeah. Bye.
Nephew.
Bye. The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, locally owned and operated for over 40 years.